Anyways, good morning and happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Those of you who are worshiping with us for the very first time, you're here visiting family. We especially want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. We got a bunch of families who are visiting with their families, so we're going to be in prayer for them that they return home safely. Welcome to the first installment of our Breaking Through series. This morning we're going to take a look at a man who needed a breakthrough in his life. He desperately needed direction in life. And that man's name was Daniel. And he teaches us a number of things that we can do when we need direction. I know the turkeys and the Thanksgiving dinners are waiting, and I don't want to be responsible for burning anybody's bird. So let's just jump right in. When you need guidance from God, the first thing to do is listen to God. Read the Bible. The Bible says that prayer actually starts not with talking, but with listening. We listen to God. How do we do that? We do it by reading God's Word, by reading His book. When you let God talk to you by His Spirit through the Bible, then you're going to know how to consult God for direction. You'll know how to pray and what to pray for. And this is exactly what Daniel did. We're going to just unpack a part of chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. And when we arrive in chapter 9, Daniel is 85 years old. At the beginning of his book, he was a 15-year-old prisoner of war taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, from what is modern-day Israel to Iraq. Some people in government identified him as a young man with character and capacity and specific competencies, that they recruited him and some of his friends to work for them. He not only survived several regime changes, he continued to get promoted and was given more authority in each government. I mean, this guy was resilient and he was brilliant. He was so valued for his contribution in leading and governing that he served three different kings in three different regimes. So Daniel wasn't just a survivor, but someone who thrived in three different governments. But when we pick up his story here in chapter 9 of the Old Testament book that bears his name, he's 85 years old and he wants to go home. He wants to go back to his homeland. And so he turns to God and he seeks direction from him. And here's what he does. Here's the story, Daniel chapter 9. It says, it was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. What does Daniel do when he needs direction from God? He reads his word. Daniel says, I learned from reading the word of the Lord. We won't pray effectively until we consult and study the scriptures, until we, like Daniel, learn from the Word. The more you know God's Word, the Bible, the more effectively you'll pray, and the better you'll see direction from God. The sooner you'll arrive at a breakthrough. If you're not familiar with what God has written in His Word, you won't know how to pray or what to pray for. If you want to receive direction from God, be in His Word every single day. Now, when Babylon originally invaded and crushed Israel, and Daniel was taken captive as a prisoner of war to Babylon, a man named Jeremiah was left behind in the defeated and demolished city of Jerusalem. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, write down what I tell you. Those who were taken to Babylon are going to be there for 70 years. So Jeremiah wrote down what God revealed to him, and his writings were circulated. And here's what Daniel was reading, was studying at this point in his life. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Those of you who have been around the church for a while, for any length of time, will likely have bumped into these verses. They're well known. We've got songs that we sing about them. Well, this is the original context. It was written to prisoners of war, people who were transported against their will to a foreign country and were longing to go home. And God promised them that He would bring them home again. He tells the people that He has plans for them, plans to prosper them, not to harm them, plan for good, for a future and a hope. We know these verses. We quote these verses, but we often leave off that last phrase which says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. Here's the thing I don't want you to miss. God is telling each and every one of us that He's made us for a purpose. He has plans for each and every one of us, but they're not automatic. We can miss them. In fact, most people miss God's plan and purpose for their life because they're not attuned to Him. They're not walking with Him. They're not dialed into Him. They're not praying. Look again at this verse in Jeremiah. God says, I've got a plan for your life. You're here for a reason. My plan for you is good, but it has a timetable. And He says to these guys specifically at that point in history, I'm not going to cut short my plan. You're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. He says, when the time is right for me to fulfill the plan, you're all going to be able to go back home. But you have to do something. You have to pray. He says, and when you pray, I will listen. This is where God's sovereignty meets our responsibility. God determines the timing of His plan for your life. But when the timing is right, you're still going to need to pray because He'll wait for you to engage Him in prayer. He's not going to force His plan on you. You have to turn to Him. You have to pray. You have to ask. So when you need direction, when you're looking for a breakthrough, the first step is to listen to God. Get into His Word. Listen to what He's telling you. The next thing Daniel does when seeking direction from God is this. He turns to Him. He looks to God. He gives Him His attention. In verse 3 it says, so I turned my face to the Lord, seeking Him. What does turning your face towards someone show them? It shows them your love. It shows them that you're attending to them. I remember when our boys were little, when they wanted something from me and I was distracted and wasn't paying attention quickly enough to them, they would put their little hands on my face. They would grab me and they would say, look at me, Dad. I'm talking to you. They wanted eye contact. They wanted my attention. This is a valuable gift we give one another, our attention. We not only do this in our relationships with others, but we also do this with God. You can turn your face to God in prayer. How do you do that? By fully attuning to Him. Or by actually physically, you look up, you say, God, I am here. I'd like to speak with you about something. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we have to close our eyes when we pray or that we have to bow our heads when we pray. Those are appropriate and good things to do because they help us focus. But you can do what people in Bible times did. You can look up and you can talk to God. You can talk to Him aloud. You can talk to God when you're driving your car. You can talk to Him when you're going for a walk or for a run. God, I'm turning my face to you. I want to talk to you about something that's on my heart. It's a physical reminder that we're giving God our attention. This is what Daniel did. Another version has verse 3 as, so I gave my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer. Daniel turned to God in prayer. All right, this is the second step in receiving direction from God and working towards spiritual breakthrough. The first is to listen. The second is to seek God with our whole heart. We read in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 that God says, I love those who love me and those who seek me will find me. You need direction from God? Seek Him. You will find Him. But you have to seek Him the right way. In Jeremiah 29:13, it's not on the screen, but it's the next verse of this passage. God says, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's committed seeking. Not like, you know, oh yeah, I kind of want to know God in my spare time between my work and my other activities, the ball game. Maybe I'll have some time to talk with you and maybe, you know, you can let me know what I'm supposed to do. No, it's when you seek Him with your whole heart, then you're going to find Him. Hebrews 11 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We can cause ourselves a lot of problems when we choose to not seek God for direction. I'm sure each of us can think of a decision that we made without talking to God first when we should have, and how we regretted it. Anytime we ignore God, we don't ask for His help or for His direction. God will step aside and He will let us do our thing, but He will also allow us to experience the consequences of that decision making. I've always found it funny how we love our freedom in making our decisions. We don't necessarily want God's input, but then we'll go running back to Him when there's a mess to clean up because we didn't consult Him in the first place. Is it possible that some of the pain that you're going through right now is because you didn't seek God? You just went ahead and made a decision without checking with Him first? And God, as our loving Father, our good Father, says, I could have saved you a lot of pain or effort if you would have just talked with me. I would have given you direction. Do what Daniel did and have a conversation with me, God says, 2 or 3 times a day, and I will give you direction. So are you needing spiritual breakthrough? Do you need direction? Listen to God and seek Him with your whole heart. And here's the third thing that Daniel teaches us in seeking direction from God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Whatever it is you are wrestling with, God says, pour your heart out to me. Too many of our prayers lack heart. They lack emotion. They're repetitive and formulaic. They're cut and dried. We're not mindful even about what we're saying to God. We've got certain sayings or expressions that have worked their way into our vocabulary, and they just become customary for us to say in our prayers. There's little to no emotion or authenticity when we pray. It becomes rote, stuff that we've simply become accustomed to saying. God doesn't care how beautiful your prayers sound, how eloquently you are able to articulate yourself. In fact, I don't think God cares so much about the words as He does about the heart that is behind those words. And I think He welcomes hearing passion in our prayers. He's the one who made us to be emotional beings, and He understands when we express ourselves with emotion. I think He invites it. I mean, think of your relationships for a minute. Does the tone that you speak with make a difference when you're talking to a family member or a friend? Totally makes a difference. The passion, the emotion, it underlines the intensity and the weightiness of what we're talking about, of the requests that we're making. Your passion, your intensity shows how much something matters to you. Now, if you ask God about something, God, I really would like to know your mind on this. I want to make the right decision. But you're not passionate about it. Or if you only pray about it once and never talk to God about it again or otherwise, then God goes, how much does this actually mean to you? Is this a whimsical request, or is this something that you truly desire? Take a look at Daniel. He says, and I prayed earnestly to the Lord, pleading with Him, fasting, wearing sackcloth, and sitting in ashes. Daniel was pleading with God. Pleading means to ask with heart. It's to ask with passion. It's not a request empty of emotion. It's a serious seeking. It's throwing your heart into something. I mean, God listens to heartfelt asking. And Daniel says, I poured out my heart to God, bearing my soul to Him. When you talk to God, do you pour your heart out to Him? Do you bare your soul to God? Do you pray with passion? Do you throw your whole self into your conversations with God? Like, Heavenly Father, I need your direction. I long for your direction in my marriage. I need your perspective on this relationship, on this issue at work. Holy Spirit, I need your help in my business. Show me the next steps that I ought to be taking. Spirit of God, would you assist me and give me understanding and discernment in my relationship with my child, with my sister, with my brother, with my friend, with my colleague at work? You pour your heart out to God. You come before Him transparently. I mean, we can just drop the pretense right off the top because He sees us for who we are anyway. He's omniscient. So simply bare your soul. When was the last time you prayed like that? Maybe the last time you prayed like that occurred when you were in crisis, when you were experiencing some serious pain in your journey. The sad thing is we don't bare our souls to God or pour out our heart to God when things are humming along and everything's tickety-boo. But God invites us to cry out to Him when the seas we're sailing on are smooth and when they're rough. So Daniel says, I was pleading with God. I was bearing my heart, my soul to God. I was pouring my heart out to him. What is Daniel crying out to God about? He's saying, God, I want to go back home. I want to go home. I'm an old man. I'm 85 years old. I spent my life serving pagan kings. I've done the best I could to pursue a life of virtue in a secular society. I stayed true. I kept my integrity in a pagan world. I tried to represent you well in every cabinet position I held. I became a person of influence in every kingdom, and I tried to really represent you in an honorable way. But God, I want to go back home. I really want to die in my own country. Jeremiah, as we said, had been given a word from God that said that after 70 years, Babylon would fall, and then the displaced people of God in Babylon would start praying and pleading, and God would let them go back home. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 50. Then my people shall join together, weeping and seeking the Lord their God. That's praying with heart. That's praying with passion. They shall ask the way to Zion, to Jerusalem. Why? Because it had been 70 years. They didn't even know how to get back home. And then they started back home again. Imagine these people didn't know the way home, but they're pleading with God to take them back home to Jerusalem again. Maybe this is the sort of prayer you need to pray for your own life. God, I've distanced myself from you. Our families distanced ourselves from you. I've gotten so busy, I've left no room for life. I've left no space in my schedule to develop my relationship with you. I've gotten so distracted, and I've prioritized other things above you. I don't even know how to find my way back home to you. Some of you need to pray that for your family. Your family is really out of sorts right now, and your prayer is, we need to come home to you, Heavenly Father. We need to find our way home and make our home in you. Some of you need to pray that for your children. You're praying that they're going to find their way back home, your home, God's home. Some of you need to pray that for your business. We all need to be praying that for our country. Now, when does God answer that kind of prayer? Jeremiah says, then my people shall join together, weeping and seeking the Lord their God. When God's people unite and pour out their heart to God, he does something. All right, make note of this. The next thing that Daniel tells us to do, the next thing that we learn from Daniel is to get serious, to get very serious. This is the pleading point in our prayers. Even beyond that, to get to a place where we fast and pray. When you're fasting and praying about something, you're indicating to God that you are serious, that you mean business about this. It's not a small thing for you. It's nothing inconsequential. It's nothing that you're being casual about. You're serious, and you want God's intervention. You want to let God know how important whatever it is that you're praying about really is to you. Daniel did three things to indicate his seriousness to God about the matter that was on his heart. Two of them are customs not common in our culture today, but a third is a spiritual discipline that has been practiced by believers throughout the generations. Here's what Daniel says. He says, as I prayed, I fasted and wore rough sackcloth, and I sprinkled myself with ashes. We don't do the sackcloth and ashes thing in our culture anymore, but they were signs of mourning in Daniel's time. Daniel was expressing not only his seriousness here, but was also expressing his grief and his shame over the sins of his people. Right? And that sort of thing, the sackcloth and ashes thing, was done for hundreds and hundreds of years in the Middle East and the Orient. But Daniel says, I also fasted. He went without food for a period of time. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. We fast from food or from certain activities to feast on God. We turn our hunger to him. All right, and the spiritual discipline is all throughout Scripture. Moses fasted before he received the Ten Commandments. Daniel fasted in order to get guidance from God. Nehemiah fasted before he began a building campaign. Jesus fasted for victory over temptation. The very first Christians fasted during decision-making periods in their life. Fasting simply signals, God, I am serious about this. I'm seeking you. If you've never fasted or prayed about a concern in your life, about getting direction from God, about moving to spiritual breakthrough, you have to ask yourself, how seriously are you actually about it? And it doesn't have to be a food fast, friends. You can fast from media. You can fast from your favorite pastime, from whatever consumes your time, so you can redirect that time to spend with God. You seek His face. You seek His direction. You seek breakthrough. The next thing Daniel does when seeking direction from God is this. Give thanks. Thank God for His love and His promises. The Bible says when you ask, ask with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a holiday if you're a believer. It's a life posture. You are to live with an attitude of gratitude. Look what Daniel says. He says, "Then I said, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands." Daniel reminds himself of how good God is, how gracious God is, how He's provided for him, and how grateful he is to God. And a few verses later, he says, "But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against Him." You just tell God, "God, I am grateful that you're God, and I'm not. I'm grateful that you're loving, that you're forgiving, that you're good, that you're merciful." So you thank God for His love and His promises. And then Daniel does one final thing I invite you to note as we wrap up. He confesses his sin. God doesn't listen to prideful complaining, but He does listen to humble confessing. God responds to humility. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Now, some of you might be sitting there quietly thinking, "Listen, if I admit my sins to God, I've got this feeling He's going to punish me." Well, two things. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. So He's well aware of the sins you've committed, so you can't hide anything from Him anyhow. He's not surprised by any news that you give Him or any confession that you make. He just wants you to admit your sin and seek forgiveness. It really is about us humbling ourselves before Him and asking for His help. And secondly, when you humbly confess your sin, God doesn't respond with punishment. He responds, as Daniel says here, with mercy and grace and forgiveness. You simply come clean before God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, God, about how I spoke to my spouse or to my children. I was selfish and unkind. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Or I'm sorry, God, about the lie that I told at work or to a friend. That was wrong. Please forgive me and help me make it right." Right, a proper apology contains these three elements. I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. And what I just did, what I just demonstrated, is what you can do to come clean before God. You simply admit your sin, you humbly confess, and you seek and ask for God's forgiveness. You keep short accounts in your life. The word in the New Testament that is used there simply means to agree with God, to say the same. You're saying, "God, you're right. That is a sin. I know you saw that. Please forgive me. I don't want to excuse it. I don't want to minimize it. I don't want to say, 'God, that was a little mistake, a little faux pas, a personal weakness that I have.' No, it was wrong. It was sin. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And when we come clean and we confess our sin, God responds with grace. Look what Daniel says there. He says, "We have sinned and done wrong." And he just doesn't stop there either. He got very, very specific, and we do too, so that we, when we confess our sins, we know what not to do again. Look at what Daniel says. He says, "We have been wicked and turned against you, your commands and your vows. We did not listen to your servants, the prophets who spoke for you, and to our kings, our leaders, our ancestors, and all the people of the land." He owns up on behalf of the people to the sin that they had committed. And in verse 7 he says, "Lord, you are in the right. But as you see, our faces are covered with shame." This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, because of our disloyalty to you. He's calling it for what it is. We've been disloyal to you. And then he says, "We paid no attention to you when you told us how to live. The clear teaching that came through your prophets. You told us what was right. You told us what was wrong. You told us how to live morally upright lives before you, how to pursue a life of virtue. And we didn't. We didn't listen to you." Daniel knows the people don't deserve God's blessing, but he casts himself on the grace of God. He goes, "God, We could never earn this. We don't deserve this. We don't deserve to go back home. We don't deserve to be able to make our way back to you. We don't deserve your blessing, but I'm going to cast myself on your mercy. And then finally, he says, "Oh God, lean down and listen to me. We make this plea, not because we deserve your help, but because of your mercy. You are a good, good Father, a gracious and merciful Father." Now, how does God respond? Here's how God responds. Daniel says, "I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people." All right, Daniel didn't pray this just one time. Right, he prayed it again and again. He's just pouring his heart out to God. He says, "I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. And as I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice." Right, this is so important that God sends the angel Gabriel in a vision to Daniel. And Gabriel says, "Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God." I can ask the worship team to come up. Now, God didn't have to send Gabriel to you and me. He doesn't have to send Gabriel to you and me because we have the second half of the Bible. We have the New Testament, which tells us all about who Jesus is, God's self-revelation. And I can tell you right now what God will tell you as you plead for spiritual breakthrough, as you look for direction in his life. He'll tell you, "You are precious to me. I love you very much. I feel very deeply about you. I've seen every moment of your life. I've seen the hurts and the happy times. I've seen it all, and I have a plan for your life and a timeline for that plan. When you started praying, I heard that prayer, and I want to help you understand my plan for your life because you are precious to me." Now, some of you might be thinking, "Hang on, George, this is God talking to Daniel. I'm not Daniel." No, you're not, neither am I. But I know approaching God this way in seeking direction from him will make an impact. It will lead you to spiritual breakthrough. The reason I know that it will work for you is because the exact same formula is given in another part of the Bible. It's to all God's people, and it's there in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, one of the most famous promises in the Bible. God says, "If you do certain things, I will respond." He says, "If my people who are called by my name," so if you're a believer, if you are a Christ follower, you are called by the name of Christ, you're called by his name. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," that's confession. "And if they pray," that's pleading, "and they seek my face and they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." All of the elements of Daniel's prayer are in that promise. You want to experience spiritual breakthrough? You're at a point where you need direction from God? You do what Daniel did here. This is how God's word becomes so real to us in our everyday lives. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a good and gracious Father who wants to be in conversation with each one of us, your children. Thank you for giving us direction through your word. May we be faithful in consulting it daily and in listening to you. So now you can take a minute. Maybe you can say, "Heavenly Father, I want to learn to seek you. I want to build a habit that I don't ever go to bed at night without having had at least one conversation with you. Help me to see that your plan for my life involves your timing and my praying, and that many times I have not because I ask not. Teach me how to focus my attention on you, as it's so easy to get distracted in this world. I want to turn my face to you. Or teach me how to pour out my heart to you, to be authentic and real, to drop all pretense and to be transparent before you. I want to realize that my tone and my heart are more important than my words. Thank you that my prayer doesn't have to be beautiful and sound great. It just has to be honest and real. God, I've wandered away and I'm not as close to you as I've been in the past. I want to start back home again today. Help me to demonstrate my seriousness, even to be willing to go without food or media or time spent on my recreation activities, to show as a sign that I'm serious about what I'm praying for. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you are faithful and consistent. Thank you that when I come to you and I humble myself before you and I admit what I've done wrong and I admit my rebellion, that you don't punish me, but you forgive me and you wrap me in your embrace. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would work in our hearts and our lives, even in this moment. If you've never invited Christ into your life, you can say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart and my life right now. I pray that you would make yourself real to me. I want to learn to trust you. And I want to give you the say in my life. And Lord Jesus, on this Thanksgiving Day, as we now meet at the table that you have invited us to, as a sign of your love for us, your desire to have fellowship with us, to build a relationship with us, your heart to nourish and meet our needs spiritually and physically, we give you our deepest gratitude. We thank you, Father, for building a relationship to us in Jesus Christ, for offering us life in him. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for empowering us to live the life that you want us to live, to pursue a life of virtue. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.